it's the Tully Rinky Legal Power Hour on 810 WGY.
You're listening to the Tully Rinky Legal Power Hour. I'm Barbara King, here tonight substituting in for Matt. Our show is here each Sunday in our new time slot at 7 p.m. to give our listeners insight on the legal and political issues happening locally and across the country. In addition to listening on your radio, we are broadcasting around the world on WGY.com, so visit our show site at TullyRinkyShow.com for podcasts of previous shows. Well, tonight we're going to be looking at the all-important lawyer-client relationship and how it comes into play during the divorce process. Joining me tonight is Tully Rinky family and matrimonial law attorney Richard Hanft. Richard's been practicing family law in the greater capital region for over 30 years. Also joining us tonight is Tully Rinky's own family law department paralegal, Kelly Lynch. With the addition of my own family law background, we're going to provide a full perspective on how to effectively work with your attorney, including what to look for in an attorney, how to properly prepare for a divorce consultation, and how to ensure your representation is kept affordable. So if you have any questions for us throughout the show, go ahead and give us a call at 1-800-TALK-WGY or just press star WGY on your cell phone. Well, thanks for joining me tonight, Richard and Kelly.
Thank you, Barbara.
Thanks, Barb.
I want to start off with talking about when someone might begin to need an attorney for a divorce. Perhaps they're thinking about it or need some information. And probably one of the most important things is what to look for in an attorney. Richard, you've been doing this a couple of decades. What kinds of things should
somebody... Thanks for making me older than I am.
So what kinds of things should somebody be looking for when they're thinking of finding an attorney for a consultation?
Well, amongst things I think are important are judgment, ability to communicate, and personality. And what I mean by that very simply is, from the client perspective, is the person who you're thinking about retaining, someone whom you can communicate. Is there a feeling of comradeship? Is this someone whom I can confide in?
All right. And we're talking about a rather delicate, you know, thing in someone's life. They're not buying or selling a home or going into business, but they're talking about potentially the breakup of a family. Do we really care where the lawyer necessarily went to law school?
I don't think it's a factor. I think it's far more important that you feel comfortable and compatible with the attorney whom you're about to hire.
What about years of experience?
I think experience is very important criteria. Judgment is a factor. I think it's very important to have someone who, for lack of a better term, has been around the block, who knows the courts, who knows the system, and has demonstrated that he or she will be able to effectuate a result for the client.
All right. So let's start with how do we go about finding this attorney? What would you recommend?
Well, I think there are a number of factors. I think somebody can use telephone, a telephone book, the computer.
Just go to a Yellow Pages, pick an
Yellow
attorney?
Yellow Pages, but perhaps one of the better things to do is perhaps to talk with family or friends about somebody who may have actually used an attorney. And I know I find that for me, word of mouth is often a good referral system.
Perhaps same way you'd find your doctor or your dentist?
That's correct.
What about using the internet? What part does that play these days?
Well, I think it's very important, particularly for those younger folks. And I think you'll find, particularly with our law firm, there's a biographical section of all the attorneys whom we practice with or who are practicing in the field, who give a little background about their experience. And I think it's also important to some degree, not just in terms of the context of Tully Rinky, but giving you a little information as to the kinds of questions or about the subject matter that you maybe want to be talking with the attorney whom you're going to interview with.
All right. So if we've got, say, a 50% divorce rate, chances are half the people you know have been through a divorce, know someone who's been through a divorce, has used an attorney. Someone says, I got a lousy result. Maybe you don't want to use that attorney. Do you want to completely scratch them off the list?
Well, I don't think that. I think you ought to go in and try it yourself. I think, Barb, as you well know from your experience, Great result. I had a great case. Lousy result. I had a lousy lawyer.
Right.
I think it's very important to go in and again get a feel for an experience for the experience of the attorney. Are you compatible with the attorney? And I'm, as you know, Barb, I have a little bit of a sports background, it's said in baseball that 90% of the game in baseball is pitching. I believe in the context of the attorney-client relationship the ability to communicate is 90% of how people can be effective with the attorney and how the attorney can be effective with the client.
All right. Well, Kelly, I want to draw you into this because we talked a little bit about the internet and doing some research on attorneys. And Richard mentioned the Tully Rinke website. In particular, what does that have to offer? A client calls you getting information about the attorneys. What can you tell them to look for?
Well, on our website, Barb, as you know, we have an excellent divorce primer. I mean, this outlines a lot of the basic frequently asked questions that come through our firm. That way, when I advise them to go to the website, a lot of times their frequently asked questions can be answered right there. That way, when they come to the consultation, it doesn't cut into their consultation time with the attorney, and it saves them a lot of money. They're better educated.
And I think it also teaches them a little bit about the terminology the lawyer may be using.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Conflicts. Richard, you and I were chatting about this Friday, and we talked about the game a lot of people talk about, some play, some don't, and that is eliminate the lawyer. Tell us a little bit about how to make sure that the attorney you're going to hire doesn't have a conflict either with the other side, the spouse. How do you know?
Well, in our particular firm, we keep a database with respect to past representation and present representation of all the attorneys. Sometimes I've certainly found it in my experience, I'm sure you have in yours, that there are some clients who want to keep a lawyer out of a particular case. They'll take a consultation with the lawyer and then choose somebody else just so their spouse can't be represented by that lawyer.
So if Mr. Smith doesn't want his wife hiring Richard Hanft, he may consult with Richard Hanft and then hire Attorney X. Now his wife can't use you.
That's correct.
Okay.
And we have a very extensive database that covers this.
And Kelly, you check that prior to even having the client come in and see the attorney, right?
That is absolutely correct. Very thoroughly. Our firm is very thorough with that.
All right. Now, Richard, let's assume that somebody has decided they want to come in for a consultation. What are some of the tips you'd give them on how to prepare for that consultation? Kelly mentioned looking at the divorce primer on the website so you're educated a little bit about the process itself. What else would you recommend?
I would recommend that when they come in to meet with the lawyer that they know a little bit about their finances, whether it's bringing in past year's tax returns, present wage statement, know a little bit about their property, children's issues, and one thing in particular that that I'd suggest when you're interviewing with the attorney, and if very often there are custodial issues or parenting time issues that are at the forefront of whatever the conflict is, you might want to ask the attorney whether he or she has any experience as a law guardian.
At this moment, I just want to take a break because we have a caller here, George from Monticello. Hi, George. You with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Did you have a question?
Yes. My whole thing is when I want to get involved with an attorney, it's either a crisis or, like a misunderstanding in business. And I want to contact an attorney and it's just flipping through the yellow pages. I mean, is there a better way?
Yeah, I think Richard was speaking to that. Again, Richard, George is asking that question. Do you just open the book, close your eyes, and pick a name?
Sometimes you do. But on the other hand, George, I'm sure you have some friends or family, coworkers who've been through the process. You may want to talk with them about that.
What about the Bar Association, Richard?
See, I like to make a point. A lot of times I don't want people to know what I want to consult attorney about.
That's a good point, George.
It's like a very private thing.
What about the Bar Association?
And I don't want to talk to a coworker or a friend. You know, it's like, so if the guy next door wants to shoot me or something, and I was in that position. I lived next door to a guy that was the leader of a motorcycle gang.
Well, I'm not
down in Monticello, the cycle lords, and he threatened to kill me a couple times.
All right, George, if you hold on a moment, I think Richard's going to give you some advice, so wait a moment.
I'm not sure consulting the leader of the pack is something that you want to do, but on the other hand, you may also have the benefit of calling the local bar association, and the local bar association can give you the names of several lawyers who practice in the particular field, if it's matrimonial and family law. They'll give you insight and give you the names of several of the lawyers who practice in that area.
And that is confidential.
Oh, the Bar Association. Oh, fantastic. Well, probably people don't realize it. I didn't realize that. All I know is that when I wanted to get a hold of an attorney, I didn't consider the Bar Association.
Check with your local bar, the Sullivan County Bar Association. I'm sure.
And if you have a problem with, like, a judge or something, who do you contact then?
Well, with a judge, there's a commission on judicial conduct.
Commission on judicial conduct. That's a great point because, you know, it's like the topics, the issues about to get a lawyer to maintain. Like I said, I had a conflict with a guy with a motorcycle gang, and then another thing where I didn't trust the judge. He was after my girlfriend.
George, if I may, the one thing, and I'll leave you with this, before you try and do things on your own, you may want to consult with a lawyer before trying to handle this, what's known as pro se, by yourself.
So these are two really good things, Richard, that I think help George and people should know. Just about every county does have its own bar association, which keeps a referral list of lawyers with specialties or at least concentrations of area of practice.
Albany County does that. Rensselaer County does that. Schenectady County does that.
And these are free to the public,
and
usually.
Free to the public. Just call the local bar association.
Is it
1-800? 1-800 number.
Or the local bar association will be listed in the phone book on the regional basis.
One thing before we go to break, Richard, is when you're looking for an attorney, and again, to use your sports analogy, the home court advantage, do you want an attorney that practices specifically in the county where your case is?
I don't know that that's necessarily an issue. Although certainly it's helpful if somebody's from the Capital District and the case is down in the Southern Tier. But on the other hand, I think certainly in the Capital District, most lawyers and practice in all of the courts and are familiar in all the courts. And I've never in the Capital District ever felt that there's been a home court advantage.
Well, certainly there's a number of counties upstate New York. Okay. So when I practiced on Long Island, my entire practice was able to be concentrated just in Suffolk County because the population was so dense. Up here, I find that we cover a lot more counties.
Yeah, we travel. Have case, we'll travel. Whether it's Saratoga or Columbia County or Rensselaer County, we've all practiced in those courts, and that's part of the process. And you should be asking the attorney when you interview if you're going to be telling the attorney where you live, and if you're contemplating the litigation, where it might be, the attorney will be analyzing that, or alternatively, if the litigation has commenced, you should be asking the attorney whether he or she has practiced in that particular court.
And what about their experience with a judge that may be assigned to the case or experience with a lawyer on the other side of the case? How important is that?
I think that's very important. Not only the experience of having practiced before the judge, but for each client, knowledge of the other attorney. That clearly will have an impact.
Okay. Well, we'd like to hear from you tonight, so if you have a question, give us a call at 1-800-TALK-WGY or *WGY on your cell phones. If you have questions but can't join us tonight, don't forget that we can be reached all week at the Tully Rinke office. Our number is 518-218-7100. And when we're back, we'll tell you about some of the red flags you should note when meeting with an attorney for the first time and doing your consultation.
One of the worst experiences you can go through is to be charged with a DWI. But with the experienced attorneys from Tully Rinke on your side, you can be confident that your lawyer will fiercely fight to protect your rights and get you the best possible outcome. Call Tully Rinke, 518-218-7100, or visit TullyLegal.com. Tully Rinke, PLLC, 441 New Carner Road, Albany, New York. And the Tully Rinke Legal Power Hour on 810 WGY every Sunday at 9 p.m. Prior results do not guarantee a similar outcome.
You've worked hard to acquire your wealth. Let us help you keep it. Hi, I'm Abigail Doolittle, Portfolio Manager at Johnson Illington Advisors. Johnson Illington is a money management firm that provides very conservative and disciplined portfolio management services. Our main goal at Johnson Illington is to preserve and enhance your wealth. We have a highly experienced team led by nationally known investment veteran and economist Hugh Johnson. Visit our website at johnson-illington.com. Johnson Illington Advisors on Broadway in Albany.
All right, Integral One Network Solutions. Tell me what they do again.
Well, they worked with us to design our new computer network. That's really made a difference. Helps us run our business better. They monitor everything 24/7 to keep it running smoothly. And they manage it all, so I don't have to hire an IT guy.
So when I hire Integral One, they manage my network so I can manage my business. Talk about peace of mind.
Integral One Network Solutions, online at integralone.net. That's integralone.net, 464-4014.
Usually, a mortgage company's sole focus is property, but first-rate funding is centered on people, not property. Whether you're buying a home or struggling with your current adjustable-rate mortgage, first-rate funding will give you the same amazing personal service. First-rate funding, New Carner Road, Albany, and Broadway, Saratoga Springs. Don't wait. Call today, 452-4700, and please go online, firstratefunding.net, and see how they can help you today. Registered mortgage broker, New York State Banking Department. Mortgage loans arranged with third-party providers.
Welcome back to the Tully Rinke Legal Power Hour. I'm Barbara King, one of Tully Rinke's family and matrimonial law attorneys. With me tonight are two additional members of the firm's family law department. We have attorney Richard Hanft and our paralegal Kelly Lynch. Tonight we're talking about the lawyer-client relationship. If you hear something you want to give your opinion on, just give us a call at 1-800-TALK-WGY and feel free to check us out online anytime at TullyLegal.com. All right, now I want to talk about the consultation process itself. And Kelly, you're really the frontline person when someone calls, certainly our office.
Absolutely.
About a consultation. Tell people, what can they expect? How do you handle that?
Well, I take every call with the understanding that they're most likely in family and emotional crisis at that point. I mean, it's a hard process for anyone. I ask them, you know, do you have any previous court orders? Were you served with any papers? Anything that could possibly help the attorney out during their consultation to make the absolute most of their time.
And during that process, is that when you do what Richard was talking about, screening for those conflicts, make sure we
haven't
talked?
That's when I check our database that is extremely thorough.
Okay. And are you able to give them any advice or any immediate help on the phone when they call?
Well, I can't give legal advice, as you know, Barb. That is the unauthorized practice of law.
Trick question for you, Kelly. Richard, talking about what we call sometimes the red flags, what should, say Mrs. Smith calls, she's just been served with some divorce papers, she has kids, there are custodial issues. What should she be looking for when she speaks with the attorney? And when I say what should she be looking for, I mean both positive and negative. What are some of the red flags?
Well, just let me start this way, Barbara. In the consultation process, two things are happening. Not only is the client interviewing the lawyer, but the lawyer is interviewing the client.
But what do you mean by that?
I'm looking to see if there are realistic expectations. I need to know whether the client is willing to listen and take the advice that I'm going to give. Now, I'm not going to start giving advice until I know all the facts in the case. But I think from the client's perspective, particularly when they're going in for the first time, if they've been served with papers, as you asked in the question, the sooner they can get to the lawyer, the better off the client is.
Very important.
Very often we find, as you well know, that somebody will call the day before they're supposed to be in court for the first time, or very often they'll call after they've been in court for the first time.
Kelly, is that something you screen for, the time factor?
Absolutely. If they were served with papers, I always ask when. And even if they are like, oh, well, last week, even just an approximate date to help the attorney out.
So
anything is helpful.
You'll help cue them in on the time issue.
Absolutely.
Richard, what about the attorney that promises them a result?
I mean, from a client's perspective, anytime a lawyer guarantees you a result, and what I tell the prospective client is, anytime a lawyer guarantees you a result, check your wallet, check your pocketbook, and make sure everything is there, end the consultation, and then go find another lawyer. Because no lawyer can ever guarantee a result. And if a lawyer is doing that, that lawyer is not for you.
What do you recommend, if anything, about second opinions? I mean, I know if I've got to get something medically done, I'm going to talk to more than one doctor. What about lawyers?
I would encourage the prospective client to get a second opinion. I'll very often be in a consultation, and the person will say that my name is amongst the names that have been given to them by a friend or a relative. I've often said, fine attorney, go talk to that attorney. Because in essence, for each individual client, it's very important that you feel comfortable with the lawyer whom you eventually retain.
Richard, you said something interesting, that it's a two-way interview.
I hope I've said something interesting.
You always do. It's a two-way interview process. I mean, I know I have found that, and again, you have too, some of these cases, if they're small, can be resolved in 6 months. Some you have to live with, and the client has to live with, this relationship for a year, 2 years sometimes. And like any relationship, I mean, that's kind of long term. You both have to be able to trust each other and communicate with each other. What other advice would you give people going in for consultations in terms of what they should be listening for, either positive or negative?
Well, there are two things that are happening. Number one, from the client's perspective, the client should be listening. But it's very incumbent or it's very important from the client's perspective to be able to tell whether the lawyer is listening to you. Sometimes in the context of an hour, you're not going to get the full flavor of the case. It takes time to play out. And there are also other factors. Is it a situation where something's being planned or contemplated where you have time? Or alternatively, is it an emergency?
Are you on the offense or defense?
Very often when clients come in with and have already been served, you're on defense.
Right.
Again, to use the sports analogy, defense wins championships, but playing defense doesn't always get the result that you want.
Right. Now, I usually refer to it, maybe it's a little silly, I call it my philosophy of lawyering, but I work from a philosophy of educating my clients. I feel the more educated they are, the better able they are to make decisions. These are their children and their properties. Do you usually recommend that the client educate themselves somehow?
Yeah, I think it's very important for the client to educate himself or herself. And you can do that often through the computer. You can look and become familiar with some of the concepts. But on the other hand, be careful, because the computer is a machine,
right.
I'd rather, from this perspective, rely on the judgment and advice of someone who's been through the process, as opposed to the machine. But it's just very important: is somebody listening to you? Is somebody taking into consideration what you have to say? And are they responding to you? I would suggest to a client in advance that in not only bringing in some of the information that we talked about a little bit earlier, but perhaps before you go into the interview, write down questions that you may have. Sometimes the lawyer can't guess at all of the things that may be important to you. If you write down the questions, then you won't forget, and it'll help focus in the context of the initial consultation. It'll be a conservation of time and get the questions answered that you'd like answered.
And again, our website is a fabulous tool for a lot of those frequently asked questions or definitions or, if you will, legal jargon that some people don't understand.
Well, like you said, Kelly, it certainly helps them learn some of the terminology in advance.
Absolutely, and they use their time a lot more productively.
A lot of times as lawyers, we may use a term, even simple terms like plaintiff and defendant, and we may assume somebody knows what that means, and they don't always.
On the other hand, Barb, one of the things I try and do for an initial consultation is I try not to talk legalese. I think it's very important as part of the process that I'd be communicating. I'm trying to give short, simple answers just trying to explain things. Part of the process, for at least from the lawyer's perspective, is to educate the prospective client about the process and what he and she can anticipate depending upon the facts and circumstances
of the particular case. As few surprises as possible.
That's correct.
Yeah. We were talking about our different experiences on someone bringing someone else with them to the consultation. And Kelly made the good point, this is an emotional time for people. Sometimes they come in with somebody else. Richard, what's your experience or your advice on whether someone should bring someone with them to this meeting?
It can cut both ways, Barbara. But one of the things that happens in that process, and I tell the prospective client, there may come a point in time that we're talking about something that is confidential, and even though it's just a consultation, there is confidentiality to the process. And if a third person is sitting in the room at the time, something may be said of a confidential nature, you lose the confidentiality. So I do tell people, and I certainly would encourage, if you want to bring somebody with you, that help you get the information out, because sometimes this can be emotional. Sometimes the thought of discussing things that are very intimate and personal with a total stranger can be difficult, but it can cut both ways.
And you mentioned it breaks the confidentiality. In 21 years of practice, I've never been called upon to break the confidentiality of somebody I did a consultation with. But technically, the lawyer, that confidentiality is broken, correct?
That's correct, Barbara.
All right. And Kelly, as a paralegal, what's your obligation regarding confidentiality with these people that call?
I'm glad you asked that, Barb, because a lot of potential clients that call the firm actually ask that question. The answer to that question would be, I'm held to the exact same standard as you and Richard and every other attorney in our firm.
Meaning that you can't share any names or any
exactly.
information?
Exactly. I can't share that they even called.
Even if they don't end up retaining any
Correct.
Of the attorneys?
It's always confidential.
Okay. Well, we'd love to hear what you have to say, so give us a call at 1-800-TALK-WGY. Now it's time for the news and weather. It was snowing when I got here. So when we're back, we'll look at how you can effectively maximize your time with your attorney.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen Riegel. The Israeli operation in Gaza could be entering phase three as it pushes in deeper and sends in reservists.
It will involve pushing into the major population centers. It will involve a great deal of bloodshed. The way that the Palestinian militants could stop it is by stopping the rocket fire or agreeing to one of these ceasefire proposals on terms that is agreeable to Israel.
Fox's Mike Tobin on the Gaza border. President-elect Barack Obama calling for more transparency and guidelines for the second half of the $700 billion Wall Street bailout plan.
Keeping flow of credit is critical, and we had to do something last fall. I, like many, are disappointed with how the whole TARP process has unfolded. There hasn't been enough oversight.
The president-elect on ABC's This Week. And winter weather blamed for a 59-car pileup in New Hampshire on a snowy I-93. Fox News, re-report, you decide.
10 WGY Storm Team Forecast.
A snow warrior 2 may drift through here through the overnight. Otherwise, just a mostly cloudy sky. We'll settle back into the low teens around 12 degrees by daybreak. Under partly cloudy sky, 28 for the afternoon high Monday. Another system is in here as we head through late Monday night. Tuesday, snowfall moves in. Some minor accumulation Tuesday, 34, and then Arctic air invades, highs in the single digits Wednesday, Thursday. I'm Michael Palmer with the A10 WGY Storm Team Forecast.
Pets aren't just animals. They're companions and often members of the family. Unfortunately, pets are not always treated with the care they deserve. Animal cruelty and neglect are sadly a reality. Detecting and reporting abuse are the most important steps in bringing animal cruelty to an end. The Schenectady County Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, SPCA, is a nonprofit volunteer organization that investigates complaints of animal cruelty. Our volunteers donate their time and energy because they believe in our mission to protect animals. We are not funded. We rely exclusively on public donations. You can help with a tax-deductible donation by calling 518-755-9517 or visit our website, SchenectadySPCA.org. Or if you'd like to join the Schenectady SPCA as a volunteer, again the number 518-755-9517 or on the web, SchenectadySPCA.org.
If a commercial lease is in your future, listen closely. Conley Associates will provide you with an honest, unbiased comparison of available office space. Unlike the competition, Conley Associates works directly with you, the tenant, finding your business the ideal location at the best terms. Best of all, leave the landlords to us, because we represent tenants only. Secure your new office space with a tenants-only approach from Conley Associates. Landlords need not apply. Conley Associates, 463-5500.
Well, thanks for coming back to us. If you're a first-time listener, you're listening to the Tully Rinke Legal Power Hour. I'm Barbara King, in for our usual host, Matt Tully. Our show comes to each Sunday in our new time slot at 7 p.m., when attorneys from our law firm, Tully Rinke, give insights into the legal issues that matter to you. And tonight, we're talking about the lawyer-client relationship. We're broadcasting around the planet on WGY.com. Joining me tonight are two more members of the Tully Rinke Family and Matrimonial Law Department, attorney Richard Hanft and certified paralegal Kelly Lynch. If you have any questions for either Richard or Kelly or I tonight, give us a call at 1-800-TALK-WGY. And now I want to kind of make the assumption that someone has decided to retain an attorney. And, you know, the first thing that I always look for when I meet with somebody, and Richard, I know you've had these experiences, is the level of honesty. I'm not talking about the lawyer. I'm talking about the client. What's your advice once someone has retained an attorney about how honest should they be with their lawyer?
I have a line that I've used in summation. A person who tells the truth 99.9% of the time is a liar.
Mm-hmm.
Client should always be honest and should never feel uncomfortable about revealing a fact or facts that the client might feel imputes character, because those are the kinds of issues that come to play. And sometimes there are facts that maybe the client doesn't think is important. If I can give one example, this goes way back. I was defending a fellow in a paternity case one time, and we were preparing for trial. We were getting together. It was the night before, and he brought to me a letter the girlfriend had actually written to him in which she apologized for stating a lie. Now, here we were on the eve of trial, and he finally thought that this was important information. It might have helped and cut down on his legal bill if I'd had that particular document months beforehand.
Right. Well, that's someone that just didn't think to give you the information. Client that doesn't think they're lying to you, they're just not telling you facts that they know are important. What kind of experience do you have with that?
One of the things I have is it's you can very often flesh out, and I would simply reiterate, if you're not candid with the attorney, then it's going to make it very difficult, because invariably that information will come out in the context of the trial. And if you're not prepared for it, from a lawyer's perspective, just as a tactic, if there's difficulty in your case, you get it out on direct, meaning right. When you're questioning your own client, don't wait for it to come out on a cross-examination.
Damage control, so to speak.
Damage control.
I've had the client that comes in and thinks that they're going to tell the lawyer what to do. So I know what I want you to do, so I'm only going to give you the facts I think you need to do what I want you to do. And inevitably, they end up like you said, the facts come out, and the lawyer ends up fighting with one arm tied behind their back.
Well, there's another factor, Barbara, and I think you would probably agree with me on that, and there are differences in lawyers, but I make it a tendency in a practice. I tell clients what I think, not what they want to hear. I think that's the lawyer's role, at least before we get into court, because clients are going to ask me what's the likelihood of a particular outcome. And while I can't guarantee anything, as long as I have knowledge of all the facts, then I can attempt to tailor the presentation of the case that will best effectuate to get the outcome that the client desires.
Have a strategy that works.
Have a strategy.
Right. Well, I want to ask you about maximizing the client, maximizing their time with the attorney. What sort of tips would you give a client to? And all this really does come around to what Kelly was saying earlier about, you know, the cost effectiveness to the client. Mm-hmm. And what can you tell the client to do to help maximize their time and make their, face it, they're paying for the time. They have to make it go longer.
Well, they can, with questions, you can write them out. But very often, the client can bring in the appropriate documents or get the tax returns, or if they're court orders, whether it's a family court custody order or a judgment of divorce, or there's an agreement.
They're served with the summons.
They're served
right.
with the summons and complaint. Bring those documents in, because if you don't bring those documents, or if we're dealing with an issue that pertains to, say, custody of a child and there's a prior custody order, go get the custody order from the particular family court. Because if you don't have it, the lawyer's going to have to go get it, and that's going to cost the client money.
So do the legwork yourself if you can.
If you can. And the attorney will assist you in telling you what kind of legwork you can do.
And pointing you in the right direction.
Yeah, exactly. Well, how often, you know, this is one thing that people sometimes do complain about, and you certainly can't blame them, but how often should they be hearing from their lawyer? Should they be called once a week, once a month, once a day?
Well, it depends on every case and what the issues are, but there's also a process that I call no news is good news. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, if you have some concern that you haven't heard from the attorney, then call the attorney. I have a general rule of thumb that I try not to leave the office at night without returning every call. But I certainly tell the client when I'm in the process of being hired and in the initial during the initial interview that if I'm engaged in trial, they may not hear from me. On the other hand, I very often will use my staff to call back if I'm involved in court and have staff, or Kelly will call back.
Kelly, what role do you play in that? Someone, you know, needs to hear from Richard or myself, we're on trial or, God willing, on vacation. What can you offer?
Well, Barb, as you know, we have a very extensive computer system. Mm-hmm. There's email, telephone, everything. I mean, everybody is a big part of the Tully Rinke team. And I don't know of a time that I've ever emailed you and you haven't answered.
Right. Okay. So basically, we're pretty reachable.
Accessible. At all times, yes.
All right.
So if it is an emergency, within 24 hours, usually we can get the client the answer to their question or ease their mind.
That's the important thing, because you made the point about this being an emotional time for a lot of folks. Richard, let's get down to the real nitty-gritty of what a lot of people have to deal with, what we call the billable hour. How do you explain that to a client? They need to hire a lawyer, and you're telling them you're paying X dollars for an hour of my time. They really need to understand how that works. How do you explain it?
As simply as I can. Anytime they're utilizing my professional services, then that's going to be billable time. And let me just use it as an example. Perhaps the case is in court. I tell people from the time that I leave my office until the time I return is part of the process. I know a complaint, and probably the biggest complaint one hears. We were in court for 10 minutes and the bill was 2 hours. Well, we were sitting outside and having to wait. And that's unfortunate. On the other hand, very often in the context of waiting for a case, I will be actually conferring with the other attorney. If perhaps in a custody case, I may be talking with the law guardian, or talking with the client about things that are simply not just shooting the breeze, to use that.
So you may phrase. You may only see the judge for 10 minutes, but you're in the courthouse for 2 hours. That's the point you're making?
That's the point.
I got you. So what advice would you give a client in order to help keep their representation affordable? One point you made was if you can do some legwork, do it. How else? I mean, let's face it, every time a client calls, they could potentially be billed for the time for the attorney. How would you help them keep that affordable?
Have a purpose to the call. And if it helps to keep time down and you're concerned about finances, and believe me, I can tell you from the lawyer's perspective, I'm concerned about your finances. Because part of the lawyer's function is to try and keep fees down. I mean, that's important in the context of the relationship. Have a purpose to the call. Write some notes. If the lawyer has asked you to get document A, B, and C, try and go out and do that in advance, and don't wait. If the lawyer's asked you, look, we're in a little bit of a time rush here. We need to get A, B, and C, and I need for you to do A, B, and C. Take care of it, so mm-hmm. we don't. So that can be tended to.
And when I asked you how often should the client be hearing from the attorney, let's flip that. How often should the client be contacting the attorney? How often should the attorney hear from the client?
I think that depends on factors, but if generally speaking. If it's been left that the attorney has said, I'm going to try and contact the other attorney and then I'll get back to you. If you haven't heard in a week to 10 days, then you may want to call the attorney.
And keep the attorney advised of developments. That's something people forget to do.
And if something arises that you think's important, conversely, from the client's perspective, call the lawyer. Very often in the context of, say, a custodial issue, something will arise. Well, if something's come up, talk with the lawyer about the particular matter, so that the lawyer can give you advice as to how to handle this in the future.
And two major tips I'll give, and I know you agree with these. We've talked about them. One is don't use the attorney as a therapist
or the paralegal
or the paralegal.
I'm not a therapist.
You get billed for
I'm a
that
lawyer.
Too.
I'm a lawyer.
Right. And most insurance policies will cover counseling. And as Kelly had said, it's a difficult time for people. And one thing is, if you're given the advice, you're paying for the advice, take it. There's nothing worse than telling a client to turn right and they turn left and then comes to you and says, fix it.
There's nothing worse than that. And very often I will tell the client in the initial consultation, there's only one captain on the ship and I'm it. And that doesn't mean that in the context of that I'm going to tell the client what the result is going to be. We present options. We give our opinion as to which may be the best option. But from a procedural perspective, the lawyer controls.
All right. And in the time we have left before the next break, Kelly, I kind of want to backtrack. You know, we've introduced you as a certified paralegal and what you do. But I don't want to assume that everyone understands exactly what a paralegal is. So why don't you tell us what you are and how you got there and what you do?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Barb, because a lot of clients or potential clients, a lot of times they think that a paralegal has the same duties as an attorney. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't understand the difference. So I'll explain exactly what a paralegal is. You know, we're qualified by education, training, work experience to assist attorneys in the delivery of legal services. We're held to the same standard as an attorney, but we're not attorneys.
You didn't go to law school?
No.
And what's your educational background?
I have an associate degree working on a bachelor's in legal studies.
Does every paralegal have an associate's?
No, they don't. You can have a certificate, an associate degree, or a bachelor degree. And that makes you a paralegal.
All right,
Barb, if I could just jump in on that with just one example, there are very often times when the lawyer, like me, will ask the paralegal, like Kelly, to prepare certain documents because it's far less costly to the client if Kelly's preparing the certain document as opposed to having my do it or you do it.
Well, I'm glad you said that, Richard, because that was going to bring me into the benefits of my services to the client.
Tell us what your benefits.
The benefits of my services. Well, I bill at a significantly lower rate than an attorney.
All right.
But I can draft all the initial documents, correspondence for the attorney's review, and that right there saves the client a boatload of money. And the client in the end is going to get the benefit of a lower bill.
And I think you mentioned it before, but you also are held to the same confidentiality standards.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. And
anything they say to me is completely and utterly confidential.
I mean, even the name of the client.
Absolutely.
All right. And Richard, to what extent do you use paralegals like Kelly?
All the time, particularly just document preparation, like what's known as a statement of net worth or financial documents, because there's a real benefit to the client. And again, that's to keep costs low.
Great.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned that, Richard, too, the statement of net worth. It's just a really, you know, great thing that our firm has.
All right. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that. We have to head into a break right now. It's time for a short break, and when we're back, we'll look at how a full-service law firm can make the divorce process a little bit easier. So feel free to give us a call with any of your questions. To reach us, call 1-800-TALK-WGY or press star WGY on your cell. And if you don't have a chance to get in touch with us tonight, you can reach us at the Tully Rinke offices all week at 218-7100.
Usually, a mortgage company's sole focus is property, but First Rate Funding is centered on people, not property. Whether you're buying a home or struggling with your current adjustable rate mortgage, First Rate Funding will give you the same amazing personal service. First Rate Funding, New Corner Road, Albany, and Broadway, Saratoga Springs. Don't wait. Call today, 452-4700, and please go online, firstratefunding.net, and see how they can help you today. Registered mortgage broker, New York State Banking Department. Mortgage loans arranged with third-party providers.
You've worked hard to acquire your wealth. Let us help you keep it. Hi, I'm Abigail Doolittle, portfolio manager at Johnson Illington Advisors. Johnson Illington is a money management firm that provides very conservative and disciplined portfolio management services. Our main goal at Johnson Illington is to preserve and enhance your wealth. We have a highly experienced team led by nationally known investment veteran and economist Hugh Johnson. Visit our website at johnson-illington.com. Johnson Illington Advisors on Broadway in Albany.
You know this isn't the right job for you, but the problem is you don't know what the right job is. If you're looking for career advice, Careers in Transition LLC can help. Careers in Transition LLC is a career counseling firm that helps you figure out the right job for you. They're not an employment agency, and Dr. Tom Denham is not a headhunter, but they can help you write a better resume, prep for a job interview, and a lot more. Careers in Transition LLC, 11 Computer Drive West in Albany, 366-8451, and online, careersintransitionllc.com.
As a busy working professional, looking good's important to you. No one understands this better than Best Cleaners, the Capital Region's premier garment care provider and dry cleaner. Got a wrinkle in your schedule? Best Cleaners offers pickup and delivery of your dry cleaning right from your home or office, so you don't have to fit one more errand into your busy week. Call 458-BEST, and we'll take care of the rest. With three locations in Del Mar, Loudonville, and on the Latham Circle, Best Cleaners. Always look your best. Call 458-BEST. 458-BEST.
All right. Well, we're back from the break. And I'm Barb King. Joining me tonight, our family law attorney, Richard Hanft, and our paralegal, Kelly Lynch. Find out more about our show at WGY.com or visit TullyLegal.com to see what else we can do for your legal needs. We've still got a little bit of time left to answer your questions on the lawyer-client relationship, so feel free to give us a call at 1-800-TALK-WGY. And Kelly, my fault, but right before the break, I cut you off. Richard had mentioned something called a financial document, a statement of net worth, and just to make things a little bit simpler for folks out there, you were starting to touch on automation at our law firm and
yes.
How that helps.
Yes, Barb.
Talk about that.
As you know, we're extremely heavily automated. We use a very technical approach to preparing a lot of documents, which, again, saves clients a lot of time, money. We have a lot of different software programs where we can easily email drafts to the client, to the other attorney.
It's a lot faster.
Absolutely. And again, saves a client time,
money. Saves a tree.
It saves a tree, saves stamps, you know, saves everything.
All right. And when you were talking about some of the things you do as a paralegal, one thing I do want to touch on so that the listeners understand when they do use a firm that uses paralegals are your limitations. You said you're held to the same standards as a lawyer, but obviously, you know, you're not a practicing attorney. What are some of the limits of what you can do for people?
Correct. I'm not a practicing attorney. We do have qualified legal education, but we're not a licensed attorney, and that's the big difference there. That
what does that mean to a client, though?
It means that we can't give legal advice.
I see.
Can't sign legal documents, things like that. Again, we're there to assist the attorney in delivering legal services.
So all of your work is clearly done under the guidance.
Supervision of an attorney, correct.
All right. And you talked about Telly Rinke earlier about all the different lawyers on the website. It's been referred to as a full-service law firm. What does that mean? And Richard, you can share also with the listener what that means in terms of what you can offer clients, what Kelly can do.
Oh, well, wow. Our website is a really terrific tool, and I just want to give it out if I can.
Please do.
www.tullylegal.com.
Mm-hmm.
And on there, you know, a lot of times after divorce, clients, you know, they have real estate that they need to dispose of or, you know, buy out from the other party. We have real estate. If you need a new will, we can do that.
Or sometimes you have an issue where a client has a DWI, a vehicle in traffic, a criminal matter. Or
even a traffic ticket.
And those are all things.
We can help you out with whatever you need.
Or there's always there may be very well be a tax component.
We now have a tax attorney with us.
We now
yes,
have a tax attorney.
Mm-hmm.
There's a tax component in the context of the matrimonial. Again, you have pension plans to deal with, so there are documents with respect to the division of
Some of the accounts.
The accounts.
Yeah.
And if I can just throw it in there that we're uniquely suited for people in the military with family and matrimonial law issues.
Because?
Because we do a lot of military law and we're a small veteran disabled law firm.
Right. And our founding partners are both military.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. Richard, when we were preparing for this, you used a term I liked. You referred to what we do at the firm as a collegial process. Expound on that a little bit.
It's something about talking about issues, bouncing things off. One of the reasons I came to practice at Tully Rinke was I had cases with you, and that was an incentive for me. I've been a solo practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you're a solo practitioner, the only thing you have to bounce off of is a wall. you have an issue, and it doesn't matter how much experience you've had. Just the other day, you were involved in a trial and came down and just chatted about it. I think I gave you something that may have been helpful.
Yeah, we can get tunnel vision about our own cases, and sometimes we get too focused or absorbed.
And I've done the same thing with you.
Right.
It's when you have respect for a colleague's judgment, you can talk about these issues and there'll be a thought and it'll unblock the dam.
Yeah, and we also talked about the benefits of not reinventing the wheel. I mean, clearly every case we get is fact-driven and unique and specific, but, you know, explain the term you use, not reinventing the wheel.
Well, on the one hand, every piece of litigation is like a snowflake. That means no two cases are ever the same.
Right.
But on the other hand, generally speaking, certain procedures. We've all had experiences with certain types of motions. So we do keep a bank of cases that have been on point, mm-hmm. so to speak, or where there's a similarity of facts so that we have some documents to work with will help us, again, be cost-effective to the client.
Yeah, it really is coming all down to how does this benefit the client. It's a time-saving procedure. If we've done something before, we can perhaps use a draft or a precedent of some kind. It all comes down to being able to save them the cost. I mean, let's face it, when people divorce, they physically separate, they were sustaining a household on a certain income. And now when that marriage breaks up, what I explain to clients is you now have two mortgages, two internets, two cables, two national grids, everything doubles.
Two sets of clothing, I mean, from the custodial matter.
Right.
Furniture, everything that goes with
it. Put on top of that paying two lawyers.
And two lawyers. you want to try and be as cost-effective as possible to assist the client. As I say to a client, is it better in your pocket or mine?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And Kelly, the geographical area that our attorneys cover, I think, what'd you say? We have five matrimonial attorneys in the practice now.
That's correct.
What geographical area is covered by them?
Well, we concentrate in the greater capital region, but we expand down south as far as New York City. We have some attorneys that travel down there.
Southern tier that I'm certainly aware of.
Right. Right. And would that be just for divorces, or is that anything in the firm? Are you aware of how far some of our folks go? I think we have people that go all the way up to the border of Canada sometimes.
We're up to the Canadian border. I know, generally speaking, we're out east to Utica, a little bit beyond, and certainly down Sullivan, Otsego, Binghamton area.
And when you talked about attorneys that handle other areas of practice, we have a couple of criminal attorneys there. You know,
they're not criminals. They practice criminal law.
And unfortunately, some of our clients do run into order protection issues and things of that nature.
And we also represent law enforcement on both sides. So. It cuts both ways.
Okay. Well, I want to thank Richard and Kelly both for joining us. The whole intent here was to sort of just educate people on what we can offer them and what makes us different. So that's it for us this Sunday, and I'd like to give special thanks again to Richard and Kelly for joining me on the show. If you didn't have a chance to reach us this evening, we can be found all week at the Tully Rinke Law Offices, and our phone number is 218-7100. Thanks again for listening. We'll be here on WGY each Sunday in our new time slot at 7 p.m. You have a good night.